From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you would like to be part of the program, we'd love to have you. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, Pedro Quiles producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Michael McCall handling our social media efforts. That's Michael McCall, the producer, not Michael McCall, the senator. So if you're watching us on YouTube, we'd like for you to give it a like and subscribe to the channel. But also, you can text your question to us by using our regular call-in line. Just text your name, how you're listening, and a brief question to 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we will see if we can get that question up before the end of the program. Our host, as he is every single Tuesday, our very own favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes. And can God use you, Father?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I hope he can use you too, Jack. I hope he can use all of us. And that's what our springboard topic is today. Can God use you? All the while asking that question, when taking a look at the great cast of characters of both the Old and New Testaments, proving that God can use any individual whom he pleases, despite their flaws, despite their faux pas, etc. So if you don't think God can ever use you to help advance the plan of his salvation, you better listen to this springboard topic. But before we get started, I want to give a shout out to my youngest brother, Brett, who's out there hauling those ag commodities today, and to his daughter, Natalie, to both of them out in California there in the Central Valley, the San Joaquin Valley. Talked to Brett earlier today. Always good to talk to my brothers and to talk to my niece as well, who I don't talk to as much, but a shout out to her as well. God can always use us. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that at all. And God's cast of characters from both the Old and New Testaments proves this truth. Huh? The Bible presents a real so-called cast of characters featuring flawed, unlikely, and ordinary individuals, demonstrating that God can use anyone. He can call anyone, regardless of their past, their social status, or personal weaknesses, to carry out his plan of salvation. You know, this is a great theme, actually, of Good Shepherd Sunday, this coming Sunday. You know, we're told that he will go out in search of the one lost sheep and leave the 99 while doing so. So God goes out and searches for us, right? He meets us where we're at. This is a great message of mercy, because mercy is who God is. It's love's second name, I like to say. God is more interested in our future than in our past. He's more interested in the kind of person we can yet become than in the kind of person we used to be. While indeed taking our sin seriously, no doubt, whether mortal or venial, here's the thing. God never, ever, ever takes those sins as the last word. Why? Because he knows he's made us in his image and likeness. He knows he calls us constantly to a life of his sanctifying grace, which comes primarily through the seven sacraments. And he knows he is our God, who's bigger than any sin we might ever commit, even the most hideous or wicked mortal sin. So again, the Bible presents a real so-called cast of characters featuring flawed, unlikely, and ordinary individuals, demonstrating that God can call anyone and use anyone, regardless of their past, their social status, or personal weaknesses, to carry out his plan of salvation. This important theme highlights the truth that God's strength is perfected in weakness, and that he uses broken people to accomplish extraordinary purposes. What are some key themes of God's calling these flawed individuals to advance his plan of salvation? Well, I've come up with three of them. Number one, again, he uses weaknesses, right? God frequently selects unlikely persons to fulfill his plans to showcase that the power belongs to him and not to the individual being called. So he uses weakness. Number two, he uses repentance over perfection. The common link found among these characters, this cast of characters throughout sacred scripture in both the Old and New Testaments, is not only their moral superiority, but rather their availability and willingness to repent when confronted with their sins and being willing to embrace their weaknesses. And number three, God uses grace and redemption, right? These biblical characters emphasize that no past is too broken, nor is any heart too wounded for God's grace, and he can redeem mistakes to fulfill his divine purposes and plan of salvation. Okay, so can God use you like he's used these individuals found within this cast of characters from both the Old and New Testaments? The next time you feel that God cannot use you, just remember the following persons. How about Noah? We know that he abused alcohol, huh? Abraham was thought to be too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was considered unattractive. Joseph was abused by his own blood brothers and sold into slavery. Moses had a speech impediment, probably what we would call today stuttering, huh? Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi, a widow. Jeremiah and Timothy were both thought to be too young. How about this? David committed adultery and was a subsequent murderer when he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed at the front lines of battle. Gideon was a timid and fearful man who asked God for multiple signs in order to believe God's message. Isaiah was critical and outspoken. Jonah was a prophet who actively ran away from God and disobeyed his call. Job, poor guy, went bankrupt. And how about some characters from the New Testament now? Elizabeth was thought to be too old. How about this one? John the Baptist ate bugs, huh? And God still called him for his plan of salvation in a preeminent kind of way as the great precursor to the God-man, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. Martha worried about everything. Bartimaeus was blind. The woman with the hemorrhage bled for 12 years and had exhausted all of her financial stability through doctors. The Samaritan woman was divorced at least 5 times that we know of. Lazarus was already dead, and God still used him. You know, I didn't have Lazarus on my list in the past, and a priest friend said, "Hey, you forgot somebody on that list." I said, "Who's that?" He says, "Lazarus, who was already dead, and God still used him." That's proof positive that God can call and use whom he wills to advance his plan of salvation, right? How about Zacchaeus, who was thought to be too short in stature? Matthew was a despised tax collector who was viewed as a traitor among the Jewish people. James and John and their mother were a bit self-seeking and prideful, seeking those two places, one at the left and one at the right of Christ once he entered his kingdom, huh? Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her, and God used her again in a preeminent kind of way. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times. How about that? The apostles fell asleep while praying on the night of the arrest. Thomas doubted. How about the unnamed boy with the loaves and fishes? He's the one who unselfishly offered his lunch to Jesus so he could feed thousands of people gathered there listening to his teachings. The thief on the cross was a condemned criminal who received immediate salvation through faith in his final moments of life while hanging on a cross there next to Jesus on that Friday that we call Good Friday, huh? Paul was a persecutor and concurring murderer of Christians. And how about this? The Apostle John was exiled on an island where he wrote his greatest works, his gospel, his New Testament letters, and his book of Revelation, the book of the apocalypse, huh? So no more excuses. God can use you to your full potential, just like he used the individuals found in this cast of characters from both the Old and New Testaments to advance his plan of salvation. And besides, remember this, you are never the message, you are only the messenger. And God desires to use you as a messenger to advance his plan of salvation. Give us a call this hour live on Open Line Tuesday, or type in the sidebar there live this hour on Open Line Tuesday at our live Facebook feed or live YouTube feed. Give us a witness call or a witness written testimony about a time that you believe that God used you. God used you. God called you and you obeyed and you listened. You were humble. You listened. He used you to advance his plan of salvation.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Got a couple of great books to kind of get your summer reading off to a great start. Pomp and Circumstance and Unsolicited Advice. And then the second book, To Sanctify the World, both by our good friend George Weigel, fabulous Catholic author. In Pomp, Circumstance, and Unsolicited Advice, Weigel challenges graduates of colleges and universities to understand an academic degree as a summons to become a trustee of a great tradition. He addresses a host of issues in the contemporary church and its interaction with the rest of the world. And in Sanctify the World, he explains the necessity of the Second Vatican Council and explores the continuing relevance of its teaching in a world seeking deeper experiences of freedom. He recovers the true meaning of Vatican II as the template for Catholicism that can propose a path toward genuine human dignity and social solidarity. They're both available now at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, where they're offering free standard shipping on online orders of $75 or more. That is standard shipping in the continental U.S. only. Use the code FREE at checkout. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. Still open lines for you at 833-288-3986. Father Wade.
Yes, sir.
A rare opportunity is presenting itself to you.
All right.
To give a unlimited, open-ended Fathers of Mercy plug.
There you go. What does it mean to be a Father of Mercy? Well, I'll tell you. It means a man who wants to be faithful to the church founded by Jesus Christ, a man who wants to stay faithful to the sacred deposit of faith, which is that heritage of faith contained in sacred scripture and tradition and handed on in the church from the time of the apostles, and from which the magisterium, the teaching office of the church, draws all that it proposes for belief as being divinely revealed. As a Father of Mercy priest or permanent deacon, all of this conviction is publicly expressed in a dynamic missionary preaching apostolate by way of preaching parish missions, retreats, devotions, and conferences throughout the United States, throughout Canada, and throughout Australia, and other selected countries that we've been called to, but primarily those three English-speaking countries. So if you're 18 to 40 years of age, male, and are contemplating a religious vocation as a single man, possibly to an active preaching apostolate as a Catholic priest or as a permanent deacon, we are one of the few religious orders in the universal church that permits a member to be a permanent unmarried deacon, huh? Remember, deacons have the faculty to preach. They have the faculty to administer the sacrament of baptism. They have the faculty to also administer the sacrament of matrimony between the married couple, the bride and groom. So there's much that deacons can do, whether a transitional deacon or a permanent deacon, but our constitutions do allow for permanent deacons. We don't happen to have any in the Fathers of Mercy, but the constitutions approved by Rome in the late 1980s do approve that. So again, if you're 18 to 40 and you're discerning an active missionary preaching apostolate, give the Fathers of Mercy a look. Go to fathersofmercy.com. Again, fathersofmercy.com, and see our wonderful website that's very easy to navigate through. And also email our vocation director, Father Joseph Morgan, at vocations@fathersofmercy.com. Again, his email address to write him is vocations@fathersofmercy.com.
First up today is Raphael in Pasadena, California, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Raphael, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade. Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
Hello, Raphael. Thank you for calling, Raphael.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I was listening, and I heard you say, you know, how maybe share a story about how maybe God has called me or called you or what have you. But anyway,
sure.
Right when you said that, it reminded me of something that happened probably about 20 years ago. I was driving down this very busy street in a not-so-nice neighborhood. And all of a sudden, I was getting ready to make a left-hand turn. Now, mind you, back then, I was driving a pretty fancy car. And all of a sudden, in front of me, I see this man trying to cross the street, and traffic is coming his way. No one is slowing down. No one is stopping. They're honking. And I was like, gosh, guy, get out of the way. You're walking across the street. Do you not see this? So something told me, you know what? You need to get out of your car and go help this man.
Mm.
So I get out of my car. Now, mind you, I leave my driver's door open. I didn't even realize it. Just something told me you need to go help him. So I went to go help him. I said, sir, you're crossing the street. Do you not see the oncoming traffic? He says, thank you so much. He says, I'm blind. I have no idea where I'm at.
Wow. Wow.
And so I grabbed him by the hand. I said, okay, it's going to be all right. And I walked him over across the street. People are honking still and getting mad. And it's one of those situations where, you know, will you stop honking? You don't even realize what's going on here, dude. Just stop.
Yeah.
But it was one of those situations. Meanwhile, my car door's open. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, someone's going to jump in my car and take my car. But this poor man, he was at a nursing facility, and he wandered off. And he couldn't remember where he was supposed to go back to. Not to mention, he's blind and he can't see.
Wow.
And so I sat him down, and he was just so thankful. Thank you so much. I called 911 to get him help, to get him back to where he needed to get to. And that was it. It happened so quick, but it was just one of those things that just came to mind.
Well, that's great, Raphael. That is a fantastic example of God using you in that particular moment, the grace of the present moment, to aid somebody else who really, truly needed it himself, and a type of guardian angel, if you will, that you were able to help that man that day. That's fantastic. Thank you for listening to Open Line Tuesday today, Raphael. Hopefully you listen every day, Monday through Friday, with a different host each day, and we thank you for your great witness call.
God bless you, Raphael. We appreciate the call today. That opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone and give us a call at 833-288-3986. Tina is up next in the great state of Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Tina, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade.
Hello, Tina. Thank you for your call today from Florida. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, Father Wade, I must say this at first. I know your area very well. I grew up on the Monterey Peninsula and work in agriculture, so I know that whole area of the San Joaquin Valley oh so well.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Great. Yeah, I grew up in the Modesto area, born in the little Portuguese town of Gustin back in the 1960s, and was raised, however, in Modesto on my family's dairy farm. And my brother still lives there at the home place. My brother Brett, that I gave the shout out to at the beginning of the hour here, he and his daughter still live there at the home place. And it's nice to go home and visit when I do to see my old stomping grounds.
Indeed. Father Wade, I have a really cool story of how the Lord used me. 26 years ago, I took an agricultural job alone as an expat in China, and I worked with a group of people. We were kind of headhunting for some good growing areas, or lettuce and things like that. Anyway, I was assigned to take a trip way, way north of Beijing, practically up to Mongolia, very arduous trip of like 10 hours in the car. And I was so shocked because my boss wanted me to go with another gentleman, and I couldn't understand because I knew that other person really didn't like me at all, although I must say not very many people really cared for me alone there as a female in that culture. But anyway, nevertheless, I prayed and I went, and so we were hitting such rough weather in this car ride that was just so scary, like up in these high mountains. So I have my holy cards, of course, in my purse, in my wallet, and I took them out, and I was praying because I thought I would never make it back, really. Mm. Well, apparently, this young Chinese gentleman was curious about these cards and wanted to know, and I did tell him, this is my faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He protects me, and I think I was telling him, I think we're going to die. I mean, really, that's how scary it was.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Anyway, fast forward. Then I leave China. It was only for a temporary type of an assignment. And get back to the States, and I'm working in California in agriculture. Can you believe 3 years later, I got an email from this young man to tell me that he cried out to my God. He said, I remember you telling me all about your Lord Jesus, and I have become a Christian.
Wow.
And he told me all about how he started an underground church, and it was so beautiful. And so I had, unbelievably, my boss in America, about 6 months later, out of the blue, said, would you mind going back to China? So I was able to meet this young man and his new wife.
Wow,
and
fantastic.
Have fellowship. Isn't that wow. great how the Lord wow. used that situation?
Yeah, it's like it came full circle, your relationship with him, meeting him the first time, and then after his conversion, meeting he and his wife the second time, and being asked to go back that second time. It's like our Lord brought it to full circle to bless both of you, how both of you cooperated with his grace, you with the witnessing about your own faith, and the young man with responding to that witness with his own faith. So that's a great thing indeed. Yeah, fantastic, Tina. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, God, again, my friends, give us a call this hour for a witness call. How do you believe God used you in a particular instance or circumstance? Regardless of any faux pas, we all need to be humble and realize that God uses weak people. He uses more often than not repentance over perfection, and he uses grace and redemption over our own flaws and faux pas. Dare I say, issues, dependencies, and addictions. Look at St. Augustine, one of the great 37 doctors of the church, the so-called doctor of grace. He's also one of the doctors of moral theology. You know, look at all he did for the early church, his spiritual classics, the City of God, and his confessions as well, right? Boy, did God use him. You know, he didn't convert until age 30, and Augustine's daily prayer used to be, convert me, O God, just not yet. Convert me, O God, just not yet. You know, he suffered from a lust addiction. He tells all in book 9 of his confessions, right? He fathered a child out of wedlock at age 17. He lived with a woman for 23 years whom he never married. And all during that same 23 years left behind him a string of discarded mistresses, both married and single. But then he had a massive conversion at age 30, so much so that at age 33, just 3 years later, the people proclaimed him the Bishop of Hippo of Northern Africa, which the church approved. So today, he's one of the greatest early church bishops, fathers, and doctors of the church, St. Augustine. God uses weak people. Never forget that.
833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to one of our great EWTN radio affiliates, Atlanta Catholic Radio, WCFO 1160 AM, serving Atlanta and East Point, Georgia, is celebrating their 8th anniversary. Congratulations to Carol Tearsmith and her great team at 1160 AM, The Quest. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. So, Father Wade, you think you know something about faith, apparently.
Yeah, you know, there's a point of faith in our Catholic faith in regards to its teaching on faith, one of the three theological virtues that I think ties in to this responding to God's call when he calls us and he desires to use us and meet us where we are at, just like he met the lone wandering sheep as the good shepherd and went out to greet that sheep and to save him and bring him back to the safety of the flock. Faith is one of the three theological virtues, along with hope and love. And here's the thing, though, about faith. It is both a gift of God to the person and a human act by which the person, the believer, gives personal adherence to God, who invites his response. In other words, faith is reciprocal. It's given by God to the person, and then the person gives it back by his adherence to it, right? The person freely assents to the whole truth that God has revealed. And it is this revelation of God which the church proposes for our belief and which we know through sacred scripture and sacred tradition and the magisterium, the teaching office of the church, and which we simply profess in the creed every Sunday at Mass, those 40-plus truths, right, in the Nicene Creed, and which we also celebrate in the sacraments. That's part of our faith, the three sacraments of initiation, two sacraments of vocation and mission, also known as the two sacraments of service, matrimony and holy orders, and then the two sacraments of healing, right, anointing of the sick and confession, and which we live also, this faith, by right conduct that fulfills the twofold commandment of charity, that is to love both God and neighbor as specified through the Ten Commandments. And then we respond to this faith in our daily prayer life of faith. It's a theological virtue. Faith is given by God as a grace and an obligation that flows from the first of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. So God reaches out to the person. He goes out to the person, and the person is called to respond to that. And this is what I mean when I ask the question with today's springboard topic, can God use you? He used this cast of characters that I gave today from both the Old and New Testaments, despite their flaws, despite their weaknesses, despite their faux pas, dare I say again, issues, dependencies, and addictions. We ended the first segment of this hour show just now before the half-hour break by talking briefly about St. Augustine. He's one of the greatest of the church's saints. He's one of the greatest of the early church bishops, this former self-admitted lust addict who tells all in Book 9 of his Confessions. Again, his daily prayer, he wasn't converted yet before age 30, but he felt the tugs of God calling him, and he admits that his daily prayer was, "Convert me, O God, just not yet." You know, it sounds comical, but at the same time, he felt the tugs of God, but he wasn't ready yet to let go of those things that were addictive to him, pulling him into daily sin. He wasn't ready to let that stuff go, but finally, God, he says, "My God shouted at me, and he shattered the walls of my stubbornness." God finally shouted at me, and he shattered the walls of my stubbornness. So, God calls who he wills. And again today, Augustine is one of the greatest of the early church saints, one of the greatest of the early church fathers and bishops, and one of the doctors of the church. Give us a call. Tell us how God used you, how you heard that shouting of God in your life, and he shattered your walls of stubbornness, and he was able to finally break through by your response of faith. He offered you the faith and you responded back. Again, faith is a reciprocal gift. What I just said about faith comes right out of the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church. In fact, it's only the glossary entry on faith at the back of the catechism. It's both a gift of God to the individual believer and a gift by which the believer gives back to God through his adherence and acceptance of what God has offered.
833-288-EWTN. Still a couple of open lines for you at 833-288-3986. Bernadine is up next in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Bernadine, you're on with Father Wade.
Good morning, Jack. And Father Wade, I'm really grateful for this time with you.
Well, thank you, Bernadine.
Wonderfully hearing you on the radio all the time. And your mercy that you give us to talk about and be in. So I want to take my short time here, but Father, I was married 46 years, a widow now for 12 years, a mother of a priest, and I'm 86 years old now, still going with the grace of God. Father,
praise God.
I praise Him. And I joined when I was in my mid-30s. I wanted to learn more about serving the church in the poor, and we were married, three children, but I thought this would be a way to meet after they're in school to go and be with this group to grow in serving the poor, Father. And I was there 1 year, and one woman asked me to join her in building a St. Bonaventure Catholic elementary school in Tanzania, East Africa. I said, are you kidding me? She said, no, we can do it with one classroom, and we'll just go from there. The government gave us permission, but they said, when we wrote to the sisters telling them we'd like to start that for them, the government had the property and said we would need three classrooms. So I said, you lead and I'll follow. I did all the correspondence with the sisters who are Franciscan sisters of St. Bernadette. And anyway, they were going to be the ones that are teaching the children. And I did all the women I'm reading, Father, in the courts, 25 courts of the state of Washington, put on fundraisers and raised,
wow,
get this, Father, $42,000 between,
beautiful,
25 courts. Which is amazing, and it's just how we got inspired was a priest, Father Melinda, who came to study at Gonzaga University and write his thesis on spirituality of St. Francis of Assisi. Mm. He became our court's priest, who said masses for us and told us about the Little Angels home orphanage in Tanzania. These children would never get an education. Father inspired the one woman when I came into the court. Well, that was how God chose me, Father. I was just not able, like her, to probably figure this whole thing out. But she inspired, Father inspired us, and then she came to me and said, would you go with me to get this project going? And Father Manises, I mean, short here, the school is built with nine classrooms now and 450 children attending, being taught their Catholic faith. And we could have not imagined the outcome of God's children, wow, and the sisters teaching them. And so the faith is going out now to all these little children.
Beautiful.
We also support two children going to high school every year, the Catholic Daughters now, and I'm the chairperson still for the,
fantastic,
project.
Well, that's beautiful, Bernadine. You tripled what was required by the government of the three classrooms, so that's fantastic. And how the forces all came together, and you yourself feeling called and not giving up, despite what you thought was your own littleness. What can I do here, and how much can I give? Well, God showed you just how much you could give by hanging on and working closely with the sisters, and the sisters themselves doing their part. So fantastic, and think of the young souls that are benefiting from that beautiful, beautiful work. Fantastic story of building a school there for the orphans. Thank you so much, Bernadine. You know, it's a story we hear quite often in the lives of the saints that, especially of the women's orders, but also some of the male saints, like the foundresses of the women's orders is what I mean by that, and also some of the male saints like Saint John Bosco. Most of their life's work was put into orphanages and schools, right? To orphanages and schools. Think of Saint Catherine Drexel here from the United States. Mother Elizabeth Ann Seton, also here from the United States. St. John Bosco and his mother founded many orphanages for young boys and young girls. So just a fantastic heritage in our Catholic faith of the orphanage system, and also of the elementary school system especially, and also secondary high school system as well. Thank you so much, Bernadine, for a great witness call. We really appreciate it.
Fred is up next, a first-time caller in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Fred, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you very much. About 5 minutes ago, Father, you used the word addiction for what Augustine did. Based on the fact that we're followers of Jesus, wouldn't it be better to use the word slavery to evil, whether it's lust or greed or gluttony or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's a both and. You bring up a very good point, Fred. Thank you so much for your call today. I think as many things with our Catholic faith, it's not an either or, it's a both and. And so in talking to the modern world today about this type of lifestyle that Augustine lived before his conversion at age 30, I think the word addiction or Augustine as an addict towards lust, an actual vice, one of the seven capital sins, literally one of them is lust, that Augustine suffered from, the word addiction might be a little bit more apropos for our modern day culture in which we live here in the West, would probably be understood more than the word slave. But I understand your point fully. Augustine was a slave to his lust. We could also say he was a slave to his addiction toward lust. I don't think there's any discrepancy there either. So again, it's a both and I understand fully what you're saying, that as followers of Christ, we're a slave when something takes us away from Christ. But then again, so does an addiction take us away from Christ. So I think it's a both and, but you make a great point. Thank you so much, Fred. We really appreciate your call today from Dallas, Texas. Hopefully you're a regular listener.
Next stop for us is the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Jerry is a first-time caller listening on JMJ Catholic Radio. Jerry, you are on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade. How are you? Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Jerry. Thank you.
So it was a metanoia that I experienced that I wanted to share with you.
Okay.
Had, mentioned that earlier. I was widowed at a very early age in 1999, and I was a widow for 5 years. My children were very young, 6 and 9. And about a year after I remarried, I had an experience in taking my son to a guitar lesson. And the woman invited me in for tea. I stayed for a cup of tea. She invited me over to look at her bookcase. And she said, go pick something out. So I looked and I noticed they were all Catholic books. And she looked back at me and I said, these are all Catholic books. Is that all you read? And she said, is there anything else? And she said, take one. And I said, oh, no, I'm not that Catholic. So she reached for a book, now I know, guided by the Holy Spirit, and she handed me a book on a name I couldn't pronounce. And it was Medjugorje, a book on Medjugorje. I went home, and for the next 2 weeks, I began to experience the Blessed Virgin Mary waking me up and speaking to me in the Holy Spirit, and it was quite profound.
Wow.
And I went back to her, and she guided me toward Monsignor John Essa, who, when I went to see him, ended up being a customer of my late husband's, which was really beautiful. Hmm. And then he guided me toward Johnette Williams and her Women of Grace program.
Ah, yeah.
So, I went to a conference with my husband, and I was totally blown away. Left her talk. Bought 12 of everything, went home, started a Women of Grace program in my house, where 12 of us women all learned authentic femininity.
Beautiful.
That led to the summer conference in which I it was revealed to me a long-term wound that I suffered in 1979. And Johnette Williams, as you might know, is gifted in reading hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting all the way in the back, and she said from the podium, as she was praying, there is a woman in the back who at the age of 18 was violated in a blue MG. And I just fell to my knees, and she continued, and Jesus wants you to know he forgives you and loves you. And everything around me disappeared.
Wow.
And I crawled on my knees to the front of the stage where a beautiful priest from Iowa was hearing people, you know, just speak or confession or whatever.
Sure.
And I sat with him 45 minutes, and that began my journey of healing from the abortion in 1979. And wow. Now, 20 years later, I attended Rachel's Vineyard, and I facilitated, and now I have my own radio show on JJ called Hope After Sight.
Wow, fantastic. Where, fantastic, Jerry.
And I, thank you. And I interview men and women who offer their testimony in hopes that they, that the listeners, can understand how important a healing journey is after confession.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. I'm a huge advocate of confession. Jerry, give a shout out again to the title of your show and what Catholic Radio Network it's on.
Thank you. It's called Hope After Silence, and it's on JMJ Catholic Radio in northeastern Pennsylvania. So we have five towers, so it reaches almost to Penn State and the other way through the Poconos. But
wow.
You can listen live.
Well,
if you go to jmj750.com, they have a listen live, and I'm on today at 4 o'clock.
All right, Jerry. Well, thank you so much, and a shout-out to all the women who are listening to you right now live on my show, and we thank you as well for giving a shout-out to Johnette and how she was able to help you at the Women of Grace conference that you were at, and I always love it when Johnette gets a shout-out on Open Line Tuesday. Jack knows that.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
To me, it's like a little competition. It's a little competition between Johnette and Jack when Johnette gets the shout out on my show over my moderator, Jack, her husband.
Well, you know, that's just pretty much dinner at our house every night.
Jerry, thank you so much. I'm delighted that you called. Hopefully you're a regular listener, and I'm going to be looking up your show to take a look at it and listen to it, and I'm going to tell other people about it, especially other ladies. So thank you so much. We really appreciate your call today from Pennsylvania.
Next up is Jennifer in the great state of Missouri, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Jennifer, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing, Jennifer?
Frustrated.
Okay. And how are you frustrated today?
Well, I've been, like, living with family for... probably almost 4 months, and all they do is they complain. Like, for example, if I go to work and I come home and I want to take a bath and or wash my clothes, I'd have clean uniforms, and I'd go sit down and want to watch a little TV while my clothes are being washed. I get like cussed out and threatened and told, well, I'm calling the cops on you. And I've tried to explain that, you know, Jesus wouldn't do that. And they tell me, well, you don't believe in God. You're the one who's like...
Yeah, so Father Wade, Jennifer's obviously in a little bit of a contentious situation.
Sure.
With the family members that she's living with. How would you approach such a situation?
Sure. So Jennifer, you say you've been living there for about 4 months in this particular situation with family members. I don't know if this is something temporary or if it's something that's going to be ongoing, you didn't say. But either way, you know, God gives us a chance to grow in virtue, the different virtues, by putting us in situations where we're able to practice an action that promotes that particular virtue, like the virtue of patience, let's say, or the virtue of joy, okay? In situations where maybe somebody is upset with us and they're showing, or the virtue of kindness, any of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit that double as virtues in the spiritual life, right? The 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. So we can be in a situation that's kind of a negative situation that allows us to practice the opposite corresponding virtue then and there. Okay. And I think that's important to see that grace of the present moment for what it is, and to be able to show that act of kindness, even just by a smile, a nonverbal smile, while the person maybe is a little bit contentious towards us in their expression towards us of whatever they're saying, to be able to be patient and silent and smiling while they're talking. And then at the end, simply give a defense for yourself if the virtue of justice demands a defense, but give that defense for yourself very, very graciously. For example, by beginning by saying, you know, I'm sorry that you took it that way, but ... or I'm sorry you took it that way, it surely wasn't my intention, but, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then explain your defense if the virtue of justice calls for a defense. If the virtue of justice doesn't call for a defense, just let it go. Don't let it rain on your parade. Well, what's the old saying? Let it be water off a duck's back, because duck's feathers are so oily that the water just beads off and falls off. So don't let it bother you. Don't hang on to that anger. And again, I don't know if this is going to be a permanent situation for you or a just temporary one these last 4 months of living with family members. But even with family members, like with coworkers, like with friends, like with those who aren't such close friends, people we come into contact with on a one-time situation, like maybe at a store, we always have the opportunity to show grace and virtue towards that person. Thank you so much for a great call. We really appreciate it.
You know, EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel live every morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can hear it right here on EWTN Radio. We've got an email from Danielle in Newbury Park, California, Father Wade, and she says, if God created us with love, then why did he create some of us with special needs?
Well, that could be a way of showing those who don't need special needs, or don't have special needs, excuse me, to show their love towards those who do have special needs. You know, the fall of our first parents ushered in the original sin, and baptism wipes away the original sin, but it doesn't wipe away the effects of the original sin in the world, right? Baptism does not wipe away the effects of the original sin in the world. It only wipes away the original sin itself. So we see this in the book of Genesis, when the beautiful Garden of Eden closed in on itself. And because you have done this, O man, henceforth you shall toil by the sweat of your brow, or the sweat of your labor. And because you have done this, O woman, from henceforth you shall give a birth with the pangs of labor, right? So the effects of the original sin remain. And so we have people in our world that have special medical needs, that have special physical needs, either born with or maybe obtained by some type of manner after birth, like, say, through the adverse effects of a car accident. But it allows us to show love to them, and it allows us to have empathy towards the other. And it also allows them, if they're sui mentis, if they're of their own mind still, to be able to offer in union with Christ's own cross what they themselves are going through, which is also another type of empathy as taught by St. Edith Stein, the great Carmelite mystic and philosopher that died at Auschwitz during World War II in 1942 in the gas chamber. You know, she saw this as well, that even those who have special needs are able to offer up cognizantly their own suffering in union with Christ. And we all have something we can offer up. Even those of us who aren't special needs, there's always something we can offer up in union with our Lord's own cross, and to give rule over our lives in that particular issue, or regarding that particular issue, or that particular circumstance. And so the love is able to be generated by showing that empathy. The love is able to be shown by uniting our own sufferings with Christ on his cross. And this is something that we can remember, especially during this beautiful, beautiful Easter season, remembering that the suffering on Good Friday was overpowered by the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And of course, now we're in this beautiful, beautiful 50-day Easter season leading up to the ascension of our Lord 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, and 10 days later, Pentecost Sunday, the so-called birthday of the church in regards to her evangelization and going out to the world, giving the message of Christ to the world 10 days after the ascension, the 50th day after Easter is, of course, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon our Blessed Mother and the apostles in the upper room. And from there, the apostles went out into the world. We call this the birthday of the church in regards to her evangelization. She was born in, as an institution from the side of Christ on Good Friday. And so she's a suffering church. And we're members of Christ's body who make up this church. And because she was born from his wounded side, she is wounded herself and is a suffering church, as Bishop Robert Barron makes so clear in many of his talks.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, producer Pedro Quiles, our call screener, Matt Gubensky, and social media maven, Mr. Michael McCall, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.